Hello, and welcome to Life's Vital Chapters with Jen and Ren, a podcast where we delve into the stories that make us who we are. I'm Jen, the founder of Connects Workspace, an entrepreneur, community builder, and a believer in the power of kindness.
And I'm Ren, a leadership coach and systems consultant, and a believer in elevating our collective consciousness. Together, we're here to explore the vital chapters of life, the ones that define, challenge, and inspire us.
In every episode, we will open the book on topics that resonate with all of us. From the joys and challenges of life to the adventures that shape our personal and professional journeys.
We believe every individual has a story worth telling. Stories of growth, change, and the wisdom gained along the way. And in this podcast, we're uncovering these stories straight from the soul.
It doesn't matter what chapter of life you are in, there's something here for you. We're here to celebrate the golden moments, the lessons learned, and the paths taken.
So grab a cup of your favorite coffee or tea, settle in, and join us as we embark on this journey together. It's about real people, real stories, and the real chapters that define our lives.
Welcome to Life's Vital Chapters.
Let's turn the page to our next adventure.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Ren.
Well, here we are for episode 7, and I think I'm actually getting to the point where I have that number right. And but I'm always looking for you to make sure that's correct. But I'm really excited about this conversation today as well. I guess I've been excited about all of them because we have met and interviewed so many wonderful people. But today is a special friend of mine as well as a coach of mine. And her name is Cami Gildner. And I'll read to you about how fabulous she is professionally in a moment. But I also want to just talk about how I know Cami. She was from many chapters of my life ago, like about 20 plus years ago, we met. We were both taking backpacking school class.
And so much fun.
It was so much fun. And so we met. We were both in our our corporate roles, and we just became fast friends. And started our businesses around the same time, but fast forward to now, and Cami is this amazing coach for women entrepreneurs, and she is currently my coach as I am scaling, growing, and rebirthing my business. So it's a dear friend and an incredible professional. So let me read you about Cami, and then we'll hear from her. So Cami Gildner believes women's voices matter. She's a connector, a storyteller, a business coach for high-vibe women entrepreneurs, helping them raise up their voice, vision, and visibility for impact, business, and growth. Cami helps her clients build businesses they love with more time prosperity and more wealth prosperity. She weaves soulful inspiration into mindful business strategies, and this soul plus strategy approach to business helps her clients succeed in a busy and worldly impact. Cami's community of entrepreneurs is creating a new paradigm of entrepreneurship, helping each other raise up in a ripple effect of impact. Her clients have gone on to reach extraordinary heights as consultants, coaches, and leaders, achieving exponential revenue growth, landing on big stages, starting software companies, launching new professional organizations, and transforming corporate cultures. They are influential and they are change makers. Cami is the founder of the Extraordinary Women Ignite Conference, the host of the award-winning Extraordinary Women Radio, and she's the best-selling author of Fire Dancer, a great book, by the way, Your Spiral Journey to a Life of Passion and Purpose. And it was named the 2020-25 Most Powerful Women in Business by Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce. So not only is she a lovely human being, she is a powerful woman. Welcome, Cami. Aww.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Renelle. Thank you so much, Jen, for having me on and for a lovely introduction. I cherish all those years of backpacking school and friendship and all the things that we've known each other through. So I really cherish you as a friend. And so thank you.
Oh, thank you. Fabulous. Well, do you want to tell us a little bit about just your journey first, your chapters to get to where you are today? And then we'll talk a little bit more about what you're doing now. And
sure.
Okay.
Sure. So as you mentioned, I left the corporate world, and I left the corporate world 15 years ago, almost 16 years ago, actually. And so that was, I was a VP of marketing and branding, and, you know, had teams around the world and got to do all the wonderful, travel the world, see the world that way. And luckily the universe kind of guided me in another direction and escorted me out of the corporate world and into the world of entrepreneurship. And that it's been a fabulous, fabulous journey. I initially was really coaching a lot of corporate executive women, helping them figure out their next chapter, but they all kept leaving behind the corporate world and starting their own businesses. And so it was this opportunity for me to, I saw this opportunity that I can really help them grow their businesses. And that's, I probably switched about 10 years ago into that focus. And I love that focus.
You were good at it.
So you say you loved corporate America. Did you leave on a bad note? Did you, was it like, because we had a conversation a couple podcasts ago about how kind of the corporate world is a little bit broken and we're needing to really take care of people. Did you find that you needed to get out in order to save your soul, in order to kind of find that inner spark?
Yes. Yes. And yes. And it was, you know, I had a lot of really good years in the corporate world. It really did give me a lot of opportunities, and it gave me a foundation that I use in my work today. You know, so it's, I always look at that journey as it was meant to go through the corporate years, and it really gave me a lot of gifts. And it also was time for me to leave. When I was getting ready to go, I was really getting burnout. I had hit, you know, I was working in a pretty strenuous organization that kind of basically chewed up people and spit them out. I mean, there was a lot of that going on, and I had been getting sick a lot. I had, I had relationships that were breaking. There was, you know, a lot of tension that was happening, and I wouldn't have quit on my own because it paid pretty darn well. And at the time, I mean, it was not in my vision at all to be an entrepreneur. And so I always say my best gift was I got laid off. And the second best gift was, it was the year 2008, when there wasn't a lot of other VP of marketing jobs around, because otherwise I would have gone right back into it.
That is a very big leap to go from basically C-suite, you know, VP into entrepreneurship. But the skill set, like, you know, you have all the hard skills that work, but you're now dependent solely on yourself and you're building something from scratch. How did you do that? Like, how do you go from VP of marketing to being inspired to creating such an amazing coaching business and like full gamut books and things like that? Like, I know, you know, we're several years down the journey for you, but like that's a big leap. And just, can you tell a little bit of that, those little baby steps that led you into that?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the first, I mean, when I got the seeds of go become an entrepreneur, it was actually in a moment with a horse. And I had like this aha moment that came to me. And I was really at a tough position trying to figure out, where do I want to go? And I was interviewing. I'm like, I don't want these jobs. And so it was the horses, actually. So I had just met somebody who had been doing work with horses as an equine coach, doing equine, like assisted leadership and equine coaching, assisted coaching. And I was like, that's really cool. I was a lifetime horse person. So that was kind of my seed that opened up the idea there was people actually doing work that sounded interesting to me. And so I found myself in Northern California doing a month-long training on a ranch with a very pioneer in the work of equine assisted learning. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And so I came back, and in fact, I landed my first client at that ranch in California. I went into the ranch house bedroom and got on a call and had a sales conversation with this gentleman that was back in Colorado that someone had referred me to. And I closed that account, you know, sitting in the little ranch house bedroom on the edge of the bed. And, you know, so that was just kind of where it started. And I had so much passion and so much fire for it that it really, I think people were like, I want what she wants. Right. So that was some of the, you know, like the early days, it did flow pretty easily. But then I think what, go ahead, Renelle.
Oh, I was just going to say, so we left corporate America around the same time for different reasons. And so I just remember we spent hours and hours hiking this peak called Bergen Peak, just exploring like, oh, well, what, like I was taking a sabbatical and I was like, but what am I going to do from here? And you had just left, as the VP of the marketing role. And I'll never forget. I just wanted to say that I got that phone call from you. I don't remember how many, I don't know, it was a couple months into our hikes, whatever it was. And you're like, I know what I want to do. And it was like the most fun, exciting call. So it had to have been right around this time.
Totally. It really was. And it was just like, I was just passionate about it. Right. But then it's like, then you start doing the business building components of it. And I think, Jen, this is where you're getting to. It's like, what are the steps you take? And it's like, I think some of the most important steps I took was I found an amazing coach who had gone the pathway before me. And I was able to learn so much from her. You know, there was places where I was terrified of speaking very early on. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to speak. And, then I set my vision about how many women I wanted to impact, a million women that I wanted to impact a million women around the world, helping them lift up their voice, their vision, and grow their businesses. I was like, I'm not going to do that one person at a time. And so I had to really, you know, each phase of the way is like, there's this big stretch, right? Where I had to step into something new that was entirely different than what I'd ever done in my life. And I'd step there, I'd work with that piece of it. And then there would be another big step to take. So it's, you know, it's like we always have these big steps in front of us.
Mm-hmm. I asked that because I was curious, because that does sound so much like what my journey was like. And I just, I find it just so intriguing, the same thing where each step and each success builds a confidence and builds like a foundation and understanding. And then you take another one and then another one. And then look at where you are today. That's really inspiring and exciting to hear about.
And Katie, what led you to specifically work with women?
You know, I didn't set out that way. In fact, I told you that my first client I landed was a man. And so it was, I think that it was never my intention very early on. But I think the more I got into the heart of my marketing message, it was attracting women. You know, the work that I was putting out there was attracting women. So at some point I just was like, okay, I'm just going to own this.
And you say, I mean, like there's something now that I hear you say about women's, where women are going in this world. Can you speak to that? Because I know it didn't start out with this call, but it has developed into something that I think resonates very, just, it makes me excited to hear you say it.
Yeah. So I always say women's wisdom is the medicine our earth needs. So that's, I feel like, you know, we've come through, and I don't like the word patriarchy so much, but it's like we've come through a very, you know, masculine, linear approach to business and to our world. And I think that that's really changing. And I think that, you know, we both have masculine and feminine energies within us. And so it's not like men versus women. And that's why I kind of struggle with the word just patriarchy, because it just becomes like men versus women. And I don't see it that way. It's like, it's more of what's within us. And I think when I was in my corporate world, I definitely was in, you know, more of the masculine approach, to more linear approach. I worked in the oil and gas industry, right? So I was always in that space. But I think that when I discovered more of my feminine side, I was like, ooh, this is kind of magical, right? So it was like this more receiving. It's more, we're tapping into our intuitions. We're doing business in collaboration, and, you know, versus competition. So there's all of these different ways that we work as women really spoke to me from a world that I had not, you know, that just was not my world prior to leaving the entrepreneur space, or you know, prior to leaving the corporate world, I was just not there, but that I think that we are really changing the shape of what business it looks like, how we do business, how we show up in the world and collaborate. So I think it's really exciting how things are shifting.
You know, that reminds me back to the time when I was also leaving and yeah, at the time, 15 years ago, it was a lot of masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And I remember taking painting classes and it just brought back this creative side of me. And it felt like I was drunk, and I was not drunk. I was like elated in the embodiment of that creativity. And I will tell you, who taught me the painting class was a male. So it was a male that embodied the masculine and the feminine energy to help me bring that back. So could you relate the importance to your work with women to all the men that might be listening to us?
Oh, totally. And I think it's really important. In fact, I've had this conversation with my husband. It's like this embodiment. And I think you're really hitting on a large part of that, is that embodiment of our message, that embodiment of how we move through life. And I think that when men, and we see it happening all around us, men are really tapping into that different way of being. And it's making better companies. It's making better relationships. All of that, I think, is an important part of this evolution.
Yes.
Beautiful. It's almost like the term masculine, feminine needs to be changed to something that doesn't put men and women against, because
I agree. I'll play with the yin and yang sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes that feels a little soft. And
yeah.
Yeah. But I agree.
So I am super curious on, as you coach women, as you coach people, entrepreneurs, I guess it's entrepreneur women is basically your focus, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As you coach them, I'm really intrigued by this whole like pushing into like the prosperity and wealth and like pushing past just I think our blocks that we put on ourselves and stuff. Do you have like a story that you could tell us, or something where you had somebody come to you and was in kind of one way of thinking and you were able to help them like see through to the other side and like the results of it? It's just very intriguing. And that might be a lot to ask right on the spot. So I apologize.
Well, no, it's fine. And I think, I'm just going to use my own story, because I, you know, came out of a space. I grew up in a household where you worked hard to succeed, right? That was just our mantra we lived with. I did it in the corporate world. I was, you know, climbing the ladder alongside everyone else. And when I left the corporate world, I really wanted my business to be different, right? I didn't want to go into hustle mode. And I believe that we have to work hard. I do believe we have to work hard. I'm not saying it's like, you know, we can just manifest it and it comes. I don't believe that. But I what I've learned over the years is that I have a very natural tendency to fall back into work hard and like overwork, like workaholic hard, right? And so that is just my natural tendency. So I actually had to learn to not do that. And I had to learn to show up in my day-to-day of not like rushing between meetings, but actually making white space so I can do my big picture thinking. So that was a big shift for me. And it doesn't mean that I don't work hard, because I do. I work really hard in my business, but there's seasons and there's white space and it's a different pace. And an example that I often use is, I have talked about time prosperity for the last several years, and I was going to an airport. I was going to Toronto, and I'm going to go to the airport. I was going to be in airports all day long. Right. So I was like, I'm going to just practice time prosperity today in airports, which is not a place you think about time prosperity. And so it's energetically starting to shift. I'm not going to rush between one place to another at any point today. And I'm going to really enjoy the moon that's up as I'm driving down my canyon to go to the airport. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to just be really present. And it was amazing. By the time I got to Toronto, I was like, did not have any of the stress of a travel day. And so for me, it was a big shift in energetically how I was approaching my days, approaching my weeks, making more white space, and making practice to like slow down and breathe in between, you know, different meetings and that sort of thing. So that was the big shift that really happened to me. And, you know, there's lots of ways we can do that. I mean, it's lots of ways we simplify our businesses. And that's what I had to do, was I had to like let go of products that were no longer, you know, I was managing too many products. It's like, no, let's really focus here. Let's really focus on this specific customer journey. Let's keep my marketing message really simple, apply to that customer journey. And that's what really enabled me to, you know, to put the strategy behind that. But energy, it was both the strategy and the energy of showing up differently for myself.
As a recovering perfectionist coming out of corporate consulting, I resonate with that quite a bit, because I thought that I wasn't working if I wasn't sitting behind my computer typing fervently. I mean, and exactly. It's took me a while to get out of that. But what I realized is that when I took the white space, then the creativity and the answers for the clients I was serving came so much clearer than just sitting at my desk. And so I was talking to one of my clients that I served for a long time the other day, and I was like, sometimes I just have to go out and take a bike ride, and then the agendas for your retreats come to me so much more clearly. And I was saying that in service of him getting out from behind his desk and giving that permission. So I really resonate with that. And now you create white space for other entrepreneurs. So you help us do that. You help right. us create strategic space. Do you want to talk a little bit about your mastermind program?
Sure. So, I mean, Renelle, you're part of my platinum level, which I love that group particularly, because we do these 2-day retreats where you guys get out of your spaces that you're, you know, typically in, and you get to work with each other and get to be in, you know, spaces like that. You get equine vision journey retreats so that the horses come into the mix of it. So I think that's, you know, one of the ways I love to is get my clients out of their normal spaces that they're in and into a different space so that they can do their big picture thinking. But I also am like, well, let's simplify. How do we simplify what you're doing? Right. And I think that's a big part of that. So, yeah.
Jen, how are you going to simplify what you're doing?
Yeah. Renelle's like reading my mind.
We can see each other here, and I could just kind of see her deep in thought. So that might, yeah, I was like, ooh, what's the question? What is she thinking about?
Yeah, exactly. I know. And I laugh because it is, you know, you take a step and you have successes and then you take another. And now I'm looking back being like, okay, how do I simplify this? How do I slow down? How do I have more time and space? So I am actively in the middle of all those conversations and questions right now. And I do feel and sense that it's like being opened up and like I'm stepping into the correct answer, but I'm telling you, going through it is not easy at all. It's
so
terrifying.
Agree.
And
yeah. Cause you get, and I think that we build businesses and we add pieces to it. Right. And so over time we keep adding more pieces and it gets heavier and heavier because mm-hmm. we keep adding pieces to it. And when we decide we want to take pieces out, it can be really scary. And so it takes a lot of courage to start to pull pieces out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what the strategy to scale with simplicity looks like. And maybe Jen, you can kind of tap into what's resonating and what, you know, right. from what Cammie's telling us.
Yeah. So when I think about, you know, that strategy to scale, one is to really look at how many products you have, because if you have a whole bunch of products, you're probably serving clients in different ways. And so if you can step back and really get into your your ideal client, what I call your soul client, and get into their minds and their stories that they're in every single day, and really understand that customer journey that they're on and how you're serving them, how your work really serves them. You can say, okay, this product is a nice to have on that journey, but it may not be really core. So you can start to ask yourself, no, this product is really core to helping my clients succeed on that journey. And so that's how you can start to weigh some of those different products. And I think that's one of the core things that you can do is to, you know, just get deep into that customer journey and really align to speak to, you know, what it is that's keeping that, you know, for now I'm looking at you. I'm just thinking about, you know, your ideal clients is a CEO. It's like, what's going on for them, you know, right now? What are the stories they're in? What are the things, you know, the big issues that they're facing? And then how does your work really affect that? So the more you get into that, the more you just learn to speak their language, because you're just, they're like, oh my gosh, how'd you know I was thinking about that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, are you intuitive or maybe a little, but also it's just being in tune.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I don't want to let that part go that you just said. Your intuition, I think, is going to also guide you on this fits in here or not. This is my ideal client or not. And the more we can listen to that inner wisdom that we have, and I think that's one of our superpowers that we've got, is like tapping into that inner wisdom. The more we can do that, the more we actually really get guided in our business journeys.
So do you work mostly with solopreneurs, people that are work for themselves and don't have that staff reporting up to them? I feel like that's probably when businesses become extra complex, is when you add employees and staffing and then you grow that base. Yeah. And I think for me, that's, I feel like that's when I've met my leadership match, is whenever I'm, or that challenge is whenever I, how am I as a leader of my team?
Yeah. So I've got clients that are solopreneurs, but I've also got clients that have team members that are really supporting their work. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've got that spectrum, and it is, you know, that is definitely a different type of a challenge when you've got team members that you're trying to really, you know, work through cost of goods sold and, you know, really try to work with that. And I do think we have to do the math. I think we have to do the math behind that to make sure that, you know, we're making our business profitable. And we also have to really, you know, what's that team that we want to be building? But even my solopreneurs are, you know, bringing on, you know, virtual assistants, and they're starting to build team. And so that vision of what do they want their company to be, I think, is really important.
Yeah, because I find that's one way to simplify is to by creating, having virtual assistants or having team members, staff, being able to build your foundation stronger with teams to be able to do more. But it changes what, as a leader, as the entrepreneur, as the CEO, it changes what our focus needs to be.
Right.
And I feel like I'm looking at it now as like, you gain a lot by building teams, but you also, there is a lot to be said for just working for yourself and being able to build that, because then you're only accountable, you know, to your choices and your time and your energy and, you know, things like that. So I know, like Ranelle, I know a lot of people, friends on both sides of the spectrum. And I'm curious about, I think there's positives and sacrifices to both sides of it. And I think if you want to grow a certain type of business, you have to have team for it. But
you do.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah. If you're really starting to get into that scale mode, I think that having some team around you, and they can take all the types of different shapes. It can be contractors. It can be, you know, I mean, there's so many different shapes. It can be true employees. But what I'll say is that, my gosh, I don't know what I would do without my, you know, without my executive assistant, because she's really, really good. And I'm grateful for her every day.
Yeah, exactly. It does help you to simplify by having that.
Yeah, totally.
And I would say regardless of if someone is a quote unquote W-2 or if they are part of your team as a contractor, I've found over the years, because I used to lead very big teams when I was in corporate that were some W-2, some not. And the way I've chosen to lead teams as an entrepreneur is to not have W-2s, but I still have people working with me and I have to still be just as effective as a leader. I have to have, the principles of us working together, the principles for the, you know, of how I want people to show up, the recruiting culture of those people. Mm-hmm. It the nature of how we work with teams has really changed. And I am going to say, yes, processing payroll for 100 people is stressful. So I don't want to take away that. And I think when we're building teams, they do can look really different, but there's still some fundamentals in your leadership that are regardless of if they're a W-2 or if they're contractors.
So agree. And it's really interesting. I think I forgot that for a while because I, you know, led big teams before in the corporate world. And there was a point where I kind of forgot that I am a leader no matter, you know, what. And so there was a point where I was like, oh, of course I'm still a leader. And, you know, coming back home to that, I'm like, what kind of leader do I want to be for people in my community, people in my, you know, so there's, I have clients that I'm a leader for. I have, you know, team members that I'm a leader for. I have community that I'm a leader for. And I think that really spending time reflecting on what kind of a leader do we want to be is so important. And not to forget that as entrepreneurs, we are leaders always.
Absolutely. One thing I love about your approach that I'd love you to talk about is that you really help people blend soul and strategy. And, you know, in the leadership work that I do, it's similar, but different.
Totally.
Of we've got to find what's in our heart and in our soul and also use our strategic, linear, rational mind. But you do such a beautiful job of helping us find that balance as entrepreneurs. Can you talk more about the soul and strategy?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that because I think that is my, you know, I think the horses guided me to learn to listen to my soul because that was not something that I did in my prior life. Right. I mean, it was, you know, learning the teacher I had in the world of equine assisted learning was very much about the embodiment. She was, she's Ariana Strozzi, who was part of Strozzi Institute originally with Richard Strozzi, her ex-husband. And so I got a lot of that embodiment work that took me into the world of, if you will, spirituality that I didn't have. I just was not part of my life. And so now today I always say, you know, spirit, however you spirit, but spirit, you know, so tune into where, what that inner wisdom is. If it's getting out in nature and going on a walk, then do that. If it's in a church, do that, you know, but find the way you spirit. And learn to listen to, you know, that higher being and that inner wisdom. So whatever it looks like for you, but learn to kind of play on both sides of that. And that will give you so much great, it will help your pathway from the perspective of it'll keep you aligned. It'll help you stay aligned. It's so easy to get disaligned or unaligned because it's like, we get hit with so much information every single day, but if we can find our way that we can stay grounded in who we are and the journey that we're on, that's really, really rich. And that can really help us stay on track. And then you start to add the strategy in, and that's the linear part, right? That's the linear part of, if you do these things, this is going to help your business grow. And I do believe it takes both sides of that. But I believe the magic really comes from the soul side of it.
It's like taking the time and the space to tap into what's going on deep within, and not only ourselves, but deep within like the world, the universe, and then birthing out of it. And then your strategy comes out of it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
Less boardroom.
Yeah. And it's really magical when they fit together like that. Right. Because that's where I think you see the really big breakthroughs when you can bring both of those together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've watched people in your mastermind, watch, like, I've just seen some amazing things just in our group of people being stuck one day and something miraculous, you know, the next day. I'm observing myself, really having divine downloads and messages, and then getting stuck, and then all of a sudden being able to translate that back into strategy. And it's just, it's magical. And it's how I think that our bigger companies need to focus as well. It's not just the smaller businesses. The bigger companies need to tap into their people and tap into the wisdom and the soul of their people, and imagine, like, the collective strategy, what that could look like.
It's like fire, right? It's like, ooh.
Yeah. Kind of like your Fire Dancer book.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome. Well, Cammy, what, you know, as whether it's a men supporting women, or it's women that are at a crossroads, or just wanting the inspiration from you, what other advice, what do you want to tell the women and our listeners?
Thank you. I would say do that inner work, you know, get really friendly with your that inner wisdom of you, whether you're doing it with journaling, whether you're doing it out in nature. Make that space for yourself to just be curious, you know, what's calling to me right now, and tune into that. Because so often when we start to tune in like that on a regular basis, we hear ideas that, you know, we would have never thought of before. It's a really make that white space to take care of yourself, to listen inside, and then let that come forth. And then I think the other side of it is, once you do have that, don't play small in it, right? Really find a way that you can get out with your messaging and own it and embody it and walk in it and share it. So don't play small in the work that you're doing, because our world needs your work. And really, you know, step into that boldly.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. Jen, any last questions? That does remind me, though, that we're going to get in nature together, Jen, speaking of, and make some white space.
Yeah, we are. We are literally less than a mile from each other almost every day, and haven't seen each other in person for a while. So we should do that. Do I have any other questions? No, I'm excited. I look forward to being able to attend one of your, they're called something, and I'm just missing.
So I have, I have my Extraordinary Women Connect Gala, which is later in May, which is an evening event. And that's my 10th annual, evening gala. And then the Extraordinary Women Ignite is my big conference that I do every fall. And that is also my 10th annual this year. So this year is going to be October 24th through 26th.
Congrats. I have known several women that have gone to Ignite, that I hear about it every year, and I have not been able to make it. Where in Golden is it at this year?
It is at the Origin Red Rocks Hotel.
Awesome.
They've been a great partner with us.
So it's close to one of your businesses, Jen. So you should
You're right close to me.
Mm-hmm. Walk right over. I think a bunch of us ate lunch at Morrison May Market last year at the conference.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. So, awesome. Yes, Jen owns Morrison May, which is right next door.
Oh, yep. Excellent.
Yeah. All right, Cammy, thank you so much. Thank you for all you're doing for the world. And thank you for coming and talking to us today and enriching our lives and the people that are listening to our podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Great to spend time with both of you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was a great time. Thanks, Ren, for inviting Cammy.
Yeah. Where are you with everything Cammy shared with us? I'm so curious.
I'm really intrigued. You know, she's almost on, Connect's workspace will be 9 years in June. So she's almost on the same timeline of trajectory. And so I think it's just inspiring to talk to women that are doing really big things and important. And that sense of just like settled that she has, and knowing like what her purpose is into the world. I just think it was a really nice conversation. And I was actually curious, you know, I know, Ren, you've been meeting with Cammy for just a couple months, right? Has it been?
Like being officially
as a coach, her, yeah.
As my coach, yes, yeah. since about December of 2023. Yeah.
And how has that been? Has it been, have you noticed like a move in the direction that you were hoping through the time?
Yeah, it's been really interesting because, you know, I've had different mentors and different coaches, but I haven't like taken my business on and even my life on such a different turn before. Mm-hmm. And I just knew, I mean, I've been at Cammie's events, I've been on her podcast, but I just knew that it was time for me to now learn and be part of that and to be nurtured and do that work for my business and to invest in my business, because I ask people to invest in
for you.
In yeah. me. And yeah. so I need to invest in this business the same way. And so it just was the time. And yeah. so it's been amazing in many ways. There has been some painful moments because she asked me to think bigger, and I talk the talk about bigger, but then actually stepping in to being bigger and to really my purpose for being here in the world, that is really a scary thing. And I thought I had stepped into my purpose, but I actually, there's more to it. It's not that I'm not in purpose, but there's more to it and more being asked of me, and having a group of people supporting you and a coach continuing to push your business that way is invaluable. So, you know, I'm right in the middle of it. So
yeah,
to be continued.
Yeah. You're in the, yeah, in all the hard work phase. And I actually tend to be very much more tactical than I am strategy and vision. And so I'm just kind of a get her done kind of person. So I would agree with you how hard that is when you start having to ask those like, well, where do you want to be in 10 years? And, you know, what is your mission for your, you know, time on this planet? Just like, you're like, oh gosh, I don't know. I just want to, you know, I want to have fun, have a good family. And but there's just like, when you start asking those questions, you really tap into just the deeper thoughts and the things that we churn out at night and like think about, but then we just put them back away. And that this makes you like kind of push into it.
It does. And the parallel for with my clients is like we reactive, creative, and then this integral notion of conscious leadership is that you're answering a call that is bigger than you. You're still working on your own reactivity. But you're pretty clear on your purpose, but now there's a call coming that's bigger than you and you have to answer that call. And there are many different ways to answer that, but it feels like that's a phase I'm being asked to step into more and more.
Oh, that's awesome. Can't wait to hear more. Yeah. Fabulous.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you on our hike, I think, next week.
Sounds great.
All right.
Bye, Ren.
Bye, Jen.
Thanks for tuning in to Life's Vital Chapters with Jen and Ren. We hope you found inspiration in today's stories and tools to navigate your own journey. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more stories and ideas.
A special thanks to our sponsors, Insight Coaching and Consulting, and Connects Workspace for their support in bringing these stories to life. Insight exists to raise the collective consciousness of our world and heal the systems that hurt us. Visit Insight at insight-cc.com to transform your leaders and your organization from the inside out.
Connects Workspace is a vibrant co-working community. Visit connectsworkspace.com if you are looking for a great place to connect in Golden, Colorado.
Join us next time on Life's Vital Chapters. Until then, keep turning the page and embracing your story. Remember, every chapter counts.